From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today, we're going batty. Later in the show, we'll hear how baseball players use the sounds produced by a bat to determine where the ball is headed into the field. But first, we'll look at the kind of bat that flies around at night. There are more than 1,300 bat species, and some biologists think climate change may be the reason certain species are turning up in new places, including in and around Knoxville. Mad Schaefer Powell reached out to University of Tennessee Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Professor Gary McCracken to see if that might be one byproduct of climate change.
When it comes to the effects of climate change on bats, how much is certain right now and how much is speculation?
I think there are a lot of uncertainties having to do with, let's say, range expansions. As areas that are cooler become warmer, bats are likely to move into those warmer areas. So one potential range expansion that we're watching very closely is the northward movement of vampire bats. The northern limit to the range of vampire bats is currently in Tamaulipas, Mexico, about 50 miles from the U.S.-Mexico, you know, from the Texas border.
Are we starting to see some of those vampire bats here in the U.S. then in Texas?
There have been reports, but so far none of these reports have been verified. But the modeling, as you asked me, how much is speculative, how much is certain? Well, there's some really good climate modeling, niche modeling, to suggest that vampire bats will be here in the not-too-distant future. By here, I mean into southern Texas.
Are there any concerns that some of these bat species will not be able to move and survive?
I don't think that you're going to find that climate change is going to be limiting bats in the northern range. I can imagine that we are going to be seeing a lot of shifts of bats moving into areas in the north that they did not inhabit previously. We have seen an example. I'm not going to say that it's necessarily climate change. I personally think it is. Of molossid bats or free-tailed bats, which are largely tropical bats that have recently moved into this area. Previously, the northern limits to their range was central Georgia, but they're now in Knoxville, all over the place in Knoxville. So I think we're going to see range expansions. I don't really think that points to the south are going to get too hot for too many species, but that is a possibility.
And as the earth warms, we're seeing in northern regions more insects.
You are. You also are seeing, as the earth warms and it's warming in irregular fashion, we're also going to see, and I think that's one of our main concerns, that these migratory pathways of insects are going to change. Circulation patterns are going to change, and migration patterns are going to change. So I think an important area of research should be to look at how is the resource base of the bats in the form of these migrating insects going to shift with climate change.
Gary McCracken is a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Tennessee. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Gary McCracken talks about the effect of wind power on bat populations in a web extra. That's at our website, WUOT.org. Baseball is a sport filled with cliched jargon. Five-tool player, cup of coffee, the power alley. But one of those age-old descriptions, the crack of the bat, is more than just colorful, oft-used prose. It describes a real acoustic quality that can tell the players on the field a lot about what's going on in the batter's box. Bijan Rademacher is an outfielder for the Tennessee Smokies.
It's hard to explain what the sound is, but all baseball players know the sound when you hit the ball exactly right and how it's supposed to be. It's just loud and crisp is the only way I can explain it.
Billy McKinney is one of Rademacher's teammates.
I mean, I would just say sound of a home run is more pure, and it just sounds clean and pretty, to be honest.
Smokies radio broadcaster Justin Rock can hear it too, up in the press box.
You can really audibly tell the difference between, you know, a ball that's struck well as opposed to a ball that might be a weakly hit ground ball to short.
When they grasp for a precise description, Rademacher, McKinney, and Rock aren't alone. It is difficult to quantify the sound of a solid hit, but you know it when you hear it. In short, a dud of a sound, whether it's a thud, a thump, or a hollow pop, can signal either a foul ball or maybe a bad hit. But when the batter makes good contact with an incoming pitch, producing a solid hit or a home run, the sound is something else entirely, a sharp crack noted for its clarity.
People don't think we can hear the sound of the bat in the outfield because all the crowd's going loud, but that it pierces through the crowd. You can really hear it in the outfield.
What exactly produces baseball's sonic signature is a bit of a mystery. In 2001, physicist Robert Adair advanced the theory that the sharp crack spectators and players hear is a combination of two sounds, one produced by the compression of air where the ball physically meets the bat, and the second created by the bat's own resonance. Experimental tests have been inconclusive. When you're standing in the outfield, more than 300 feet away from home plate, a baseball can look awfully tiny. So the sound of a hit can give an outfielder, like Billy McKinney, crucial information about the ball's velocity and trajectory, allowing him to start positioning himself to catch the ball, even if he can't see exactly where it is.
Because, you know, if a batter hits the ball off the end of the bat, and you can hear that sound, that's most likely you're going to be coming in on the ball because it's not going to go that far. If they get a good piece of the ball on the bat and it sounds really nice, and that's why, you know, it's probably going to go pretty far, so you're going to have to start going back on it.
By the way, Rademacher told me something quite interesting about this. The qualitative descriptions of the sounds that are produced by wooden bats, the cracks, pops, thumps, and the like, they don't apply to aluminum bats that are so widely used in youth baseball, varsity, and college sports. For the players wielding aluminum bats, a ping is a ping is a ping. That does it for this edition of The Method. As always, you can find our entire program archive online at wuot.org. or subscribe to our podcast via iTunes. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.